Start the walk by looking at an area that I don't know whether I'm an atheist, I've got to say, but I've got to say we're very interested the last few years in our group as in religious radicals. You've got to remember, like, I suppose, back in the time we're talking about now, which is in the 17th century, you know, religion was very dominant. It was like a dominant force in society. It's how people understood things. It's how people, you know, rationalised social and political behaviour. So, and the 17th century, particularly the period before the English Civil War, is extremely, and during the English Civil War, is extremely interesting because a kind of explosion happens in Britain, an explosion of nonconformism, okay, a kind of reaction to the established religions, and very much a movement that comes from the people as well. And so I really want to start with the two figures we're going to talk about is James Naylor and Dorothy Hazard, who are very important in Bristol's history. I'll start by a quote, and this is a quote that was just, it's actually 1660, and this is a commentator, obviously who's not very sympathetic to non-conformist religions, and he's talking about Britain, and this is what he said about Britain in the period of the English Civil War, 1640s. He said, "A numberless crew of locusts have sprung out of the bottomless pit, assuming themselves the names of Arians, Arminians, Socinians, Antinomians, Anabaptists, Familiists, Anti-Scripturists, Anti-Sabbatarians, Anti-Trinitarians, Libertines, Erastians, Levellers, Mortalists, Millenarians, Enthusiasts, Separatists, Semi-Separatists, Quakers," and I see a few Quakers here today, I think, "and I could add to that, Grindletonians, Old Muggletonians, the Children of the Light." And these are all movements that appear in Britain around prior to the English Civil War in the 1640s. Some of them come from Europe, some of them come as far away as Czechoslovakia. These ideas move across and they're associated with peasant revolts in Germany. These ideas flood through Holland into Britain. And these movements spring up, and they very much spring up at grassroots level. And when we talk about Dorothy Hazard in a minute, you'll see how, like, for example, early Baptist nonconformists appeared in Bristol. I'm going to start with James Naylor. But James Naylor was a farmer from Wakefield in Yorkshire, and not a man from, a simple farmer. He ends up, the English Civil War starts, and he joins the New Model Army. He becomes a quartermaster in Lambert's cavalry regiment. Now, to understand the New Model Army and its connection with religious radicalism, I would argue that the New Model Army, who fights against the monarchists, fights for Parliament, but that New Model Army is infused, in fact, its core of its kind of fanatical, almost, belief comes from nonconformists in that army. Okay, so these are all these nonconformists. They join the New Model Army. They fight against the monarchy. They fight for religious freedoms. And those people, like James Naylor, actually preached in the army. In fact, James Naylor was an extremely famous preacher in Lambert's Hall. So before battles, they would come out and they would preach. And that preaching was very much nonconformist. It was a democratic. It was looking towards a change in the way that society was operated in. And this vast movement of people appears all over the country with these fragments. That movement actually has a major impact on British political history. So even though the Republic, and when I say Republic, I want a bit of a cheer. The Republic... Right, when the Republic happens, although the Republic is eventually defeated and monarchism comes back in, restoration of the monarchy and all that, these ideas continue, and they continue across the country, sometimes underground, sometimes overground, but they're there, these new ideas, new nonconformist ideas. I would just give you an idea of the kind of thing that James Naylor was saying. James Naylor left after the end of the war, a war hero. He comes out, goes back to his farm in Wakefield, and then he's like, he says, I was filled with the light of Christ, decided to become a preacher after that on the road. And the kind of thing James Naylor was, obviously he believed in democracy, he was against monarchy. He also said things like this. He joined the sect which was called the Children of the Light, who eventually became the Quakers as we know now, though in a different form, I would argue. They've developed over the years in different ways. The kind of thing he followed, he said, "He that respects persons commits sin." So Quakers never took their hats off to anybody. Okay, and they always, some people joke that Naylor wouldn't even take his hat off to God. Okay, so it's this kind of equality, this feeling, because there was obviously deference, you know, monarchy creates deference, they were sweeping that away. Like, he spoke out against bondage and slavery, it's very early, in the 1640s. He also, and this is kind of very relevant to the political situation today, said that anybody who was a self-lover, proud, covetous, or respects gifts or rewards should not be a ruler. And that's something that's very relevant today. So he was against corruption. He also talked about common land and enclosure, which first saw waves of enclosures were happening in that period, or in that period there was a wave of enclosure going on. He criticised the wealth. He said, getting great estates in the world, laying house to house and land to land, till there be no place for the poor. And when they are become poor through deceits, then you despise them and exalt yourselves above them and forget that you're all made of one mould and one blood and must appear before the judge, who is no respecter of persons. So he was saying, like, God, you know, God himself will not respect the wealthy. He will not respect, we're all equal, we all come from the same mould. He said, God is against you, the wealthy. You covet us and cruel oppressors who grind the needy and the poor. So he's a revolutionary in my mind at the time. He was speaking out, and that kind of politics was in the New Model Army, and it was being expressed in the 1650s, you know, after the Republic is formed. He also denied original sin and said that God would not conclude the condemnation of some persons before they come into the world. And that is a blasphemous idea. It's saying, no, we don't believe in original sin. Human beings are not guilty when they're born. Finally, a lot of this comes from the fact the Bible is available in English. You know, it's not in Latin anymore, it's been around for a while, people start to read it. Ordinary people reinterpret the Bible, and they read it and take their own, you know, perspectives on it from their own social and economic and political position in society, and that's where Naylor comes from, I would argue. And finally, he also suggested that Christ perhaps had not risen to heaven and would not come back at the last days as a man to judge all nations. So he's starting to change the idea of Jesus Christ. He starts to talk about Jesus Christ being in everybody. And this is a very key point about Quakerism itself, I would argue, that it was bringing religion back into yourself, denying all the, you know, churches and cathedrals, all this kind of tack that was controlled by a religious hierarchy. That's rubbish. What it's all about is human beings and ordinary people. And that's what James Naylor was about. Very quickly, James Naylor came to Bristol in 1656 with a group of, I would argue, were ranting women. If anybody knows who the ranters were, they were kind of the punk rockers of the age. Right? So he brings a group of women, and he actually decides to recreate the entrance into Jerusalem of Jesus on Palm Sunday. Right? Now, I was trying to think of some kind of, like, relevant today that you could do that was about as blasphemous as that, and I'm sure there's a few things you could think of, but it was pretty bad, a bad thing to do. But he did it to try and show, these stunts they did to get publicity were trying to show their religious ideas, to show that Christ was one of us as in ourselves. Anyway, so James Day arrives with his ranting women, he comes up this street in 1656, and we're going to walk to the top and see what happens.